Okay. Very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 17th of September 2019. Yeah? Yesterday is our special Malaysia Day. Yeah? So we got two national holidays. 31st of August and 16th of September. Yeah? So every year, they are about 2 weeks apart. Okay, let us now get ready for puja. So compose your mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipano bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant from the Vandana onwards. Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayotena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata vinayaya sabhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pari parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently on to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Betang pujaya mi. ธัมมังปุจเจมิสังฆังปุจเจมิOkay, you all can be seated. We'll have half an hour of silent meditation. Just relax body and mind, completely relax, maintain awareness, and just silence everything. Whatever arises, let it arise. The sankhara, the thought process, the thinking, they are dependent originating, not real. Dependent on condition, they arise.Dependent on condition this is. So you don't feed it with any more thought energy. Just accept them for what they are and allow it to be. Then the energy that support their arising will slowly, slowly dissipate. Then your mind will become very quiet. It's just like swimming. The natural state of body is buoyancy. If you know that,You don't have to struggle to keep yourself afloat. You don't have to learn to float. Similarly, meditation. Your mind, originally without the thought, is already the meditative state, the inner peace, inner awareness, the tranquility and the stillness.So you don't have to try to be aware or do anything to stir the thought. If you don't do that, you settle down very fast and your meditation will take effect very easily. Just relax, silent, maintain awareness. So your mind will return to its original state of stillness, silent. Then within the stillness,Maintain awareness to understand clearly what is going on within your own form and mind. Then you will insight into phenomena. You will develop understanding, clear understanding of who you are, what you are, what this form and mind is all about, how the sixth sense bases. Upon contact of mind,how the respective consciousness come to be, and the content of consciousness, how you input them through your views, opinion, and mental conditioning. So all this, you will start to understand. Then the essential Dhamma will become very clear. The moment you are able to train your mind until it's very, very peaceful, very calm, very mindful, you are already in the meditative state. Without the mental hindrance, you are in the meditative state. The mental hindrance can only arise when your spiritual faculty are not developed. That's why developing the five spiritual faculties is very important. You must develop Saddha Virya,leading to Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The moment the spiritual faculties are there, the opposite five mental hindrance cannot arise. Even in the midst of life, it's the same. So if you understand this, you can train your mind very easily. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. I have already set the alarm. So exactly 30 minutes.Time it will trigger off, then I will ring the bell three times. After that, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Yeah? Try to maintain your inner peace, your inner calmness and inner awareness or mindfulness for as long as you can. Okay, then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampano sugato kavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhitiko Akaliko Hipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjopatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipano bhagavato savaka sangho Yaditam chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karhaneyo anutarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. 不当不觉迷。Namang Pajemi Sanghang Pajemi Okay, you all can be seated. Yes, relax body and mind, yeah? I think last Tuesday we were having the sharing, huh? So we haven't finished. We will continue. We're supposed to continue with Brother Song sharing, huh? So. He will come out. Yeah, he will wait for him. Then who else is there after him is who? Adeline. Oh, Adeline shared already. Oh, Yun Chan. Only Yun Chan haven't shared. Oh, Han also there. Oh, Han. Okay. So we have three. So. Continue. Continue your sharing. Yeah. Pass the mic to him. Yeah. Now why? You continue. I wrap it up. Because last Tuesday, I think we cut short your sharing because... Yun Chan first. Maybe Yun Chan can tell us more.
No, nothing. Nothing very much.
Oh, okay.
It's just that it was a more interesting session this time. With
that's very good.
With the monks giving an account.
Oh, okay.
Vision also shared why he
very
chose.
Good.
What was his regular
routine? Routine.
And why he chose this place?
Oh, very good. So what did he tell you? I was told he was very happy there.
Yeah, he's very happy.
And he has a lot of faith, gratitude. Tell us what
he
said.
He has gratitude towards you as well.
Of course, he has towards people who has taught him and given him the condition to be what he wants to do. Mm. He has been quite serious in wanting to become a monk, and he prepared himself very well.
He said when he went there, he had this very good feeling.
That is the most important sign. You must have good feeling when you are there. Even you buy a house, you walk in, you don't have good feeling, forget about the house.
Then also he said that there were Western monks there, so at least
he can talk to them, discuss Dhamma with them.
He can have some people he can communicate with.
Yeah,
you know, get things done. He's supposed to be on silent.
Okay.
But then because we went, so he came to welcome us.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then he gave talks. So then they had the senior Western monks giving some accounts different days.
Yeah.
It was the worst time because it's after food. And we didn't sleep since 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
It was very tiring to sit down and listen.
So you all had to wake up very early, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have early morning chanting?
Yes.
Oh.
That's why I wake up early for chanting. Some of them meditated before the chanting. Then we have to help.
Then after that, you all meditate?
We only meditated much later.
Oh, much later.
15 minutes, a short while, and not much time to meditate.
Then after that, you have your meal.
Yeah. And
duty first. I was told a lot of duties.
We have duty after the chanting. Supposed to go for duty, but they all like, after chanting, the atmosphere is very good. No?
Oh, Adele.
I was chanting 15 minutes meditation and then have to go and help.
Help out in the kitchen and other places.
For us ladies in the kitchen.
Oh, the rest, Dhamma hall.
They have to sweep the floor.
I was told they clean up the Kuan Yin Hall also.
They went up to Kuan Yin Hall at 3 o'clock only, they did that.
Together with Wei-Sian, it seems it was his duty one of the days to clean up that place.
He's assisting to take care of the Kuan Yin Hall.
Oh, that's very good. A lot of merits.
So we had different talks, interesting to listen to some of them. And Meiji Amy, we are lucky this time Meiji Amy was there.
Oh, to translate.
She facilitated us, so we what to do and all that. If not, we don't know what to do in the kitchen. You just ask us to peel garlic, that's all.
Yeah, peeling garlic is also meditation. And you know how to develop the understanding.
So we cook bak kut teh down there.
Oh,
and then
real one. Mock meat, real meat, I thought they're vegetarian.
No.
Oh, no vegetarian. That's why when you peel garlic, you can meditate, because not to keep your eye closed like what people do. Meditation is not just sitting like a statue. Meditation is to develop awareness, to observe how your mind creates sankhara activity.
This is what Ajahnanan explained to his monks. I think I heard one of them complaining. He's got no time to meditate. There's so much of duties.
That's why he doesn't understand what is meditation. People who don't understand what is meditation will complain. In fact, a lot of Ajahn Chah's Western disciples complain about that. Then later on, they realize they were so wrong. Because that is to create the condition for them to develop the real meditation. But they don't understand. The real meditation is doing your duty in the meditative state. That's why my teacher Ajahn Antra is very good. He said, right duty is right Dhamma. Do you understand? Right duty is right Dhamma. There are two meanings now. Which one you understand?
If you do your duty in the correct attitude,
follow the Dhamma way. Means duty towards the law of nature. Means especially the law of karma. Then you must have wholesomeness, goodness. Your mind state must be free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So that is the first aspect of right duty. It's just like you follow the advice of the Buddha. When you can avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind, you have right duty. But the second aspect is more important. The second aspect is when you develop this right duty through mindfulness, heedfulness, following the noble eightfold path, you are actually cultivating the Dhamma. And that one is more important. Do you understand? So don't complain. Don't every time get unhappy. Why am I here doing all this? Why other monks can have nice time meditating in the Dhamma hall? And so you complain means you don't understand the Dhamma. Who complain? The thought, the egoic mind complain. Because there is this comparison of things. When you start to compare, duality arise, yeah? Like and dislike. Then the mind that compare always create division. You know what is division, isn't it? Yeah? Why they always so lucky can do all this? Why me have to do this, have to do that? Why are they giving me so much duty? In fact, a lot of Western monks, even Ajahn Jakaro, Sumedho, they initially also complain the same way. I'm here to meditate. I came all the way from my country, far away, Europe or Australia, to meditate, not to do all this. So they complain. Then when Ajahn Chah sent them to a small monastery, they also complain. What am I doing here, wasting my time? So much work to do, no support, hardly any support, mosquito also a lot, basic facility also not there. This is how you train your mind. Because if you really go into the forest, it's worse. At least it's a monastery, or a small way place, even though rural, underdeveloped, but it's better than out in the cold. Those who really cultivate based on Dutanga practices, or what they call not really self-modification, they don't call it self-modification. Dutanga means they are very disciplined. Then they really go through that tough training. They keep very strictly to precept. Then they really, wherever they are underneath a tree, they will make themselves comfortable to meditate. Then despite whatever the weather is, they have to endure, Then if they can look for a place, like a cave or what, they will go. Then nearby, got stream and all those things. And most of the time in the forest, you don't have village. Unless you can find a place where there is a little small settlement there. Then provided they also support the Sangha practices, then these people may come and make offering. Then you can go for alms round, then people may offer you food. But if you are at an alien place where this culture is not widely practiced and not something that the local people understand, then they may not know what you are doing. So there is no real support. So people who go this way, they have to find out and adjust. Especially in China. China at that time, in the early days, I think Pindapata was not common, not popularly accepted. So the reason for that is, it is not something that has been assimilated into the society, not like the Theravada country, Sri Lanka, India, or this Theravada country, they have this thing assimilated into part of society. So in China, that's why you see all their Mahayana temple, they cook themselves, they plant their own food, they have their own monks and nuns doing all those duty and work. So it's different, and hardly you see them doing arms round Pinnapata. So the original forest tradition of the Buddha, where during the 9 months you have to move out, then be a blessing to the world, go for arms round, do your practice. Then during the 3 month rains retreat, they will gather at a place where they will go to the rains retreat. The end of the retreat, that is what they call the Katina, the celebration. Then they follow this tradition very strictly. Okay, after that, what about your own cultivation?
Nothing very much.
You have been there many years, huh? You have been there many years and leading them.
Years.
Continuously, I think at least 7 years, huh?
Yeah,
at least 7 years, yeah.
We come back with falter, don't meditate so regularly.
Oh.
So you go back.
That's why the daily life cultivation is very important. When you are there, it's supposed to boost your faith, understand? Then give you the drive to cultivate. Then you can really train yourself well when you are there, because you have decided to go there for 10 days. And if you really make use of it, you can benefit. If your mind can connect or enter sati, then you can determine to be mindful throughout the day. When you come back, you become different. But it depends. I realize it's not something very easy or very natural. In the past, when I did my cultivation, I thought everybody can be like what I am. So that's why I thought what you need is Dhamma, then what you need is the understanding, then you will go all out. But I realize not everybody have that understanding. Your karmic past is different. Your conditions are different. So that's why I start to relax back. Then I have to sometimes slow down the teaching. I had to start from basic again, teach you all the essential Dhamma, then slowly see the condition, then accord and flow with condition to share. But the last few years is beautiful. Many Kainamita has developed the faith. So like I said, the 10 steps of the Avijja Sutta, you check. Most of you have the first three, and quite a number has the fourth step, Yoniso Manasikara, means first and second turning wisdom. Once you have Yoniso Manasikara, your daily mindfulness can stabilize very fast. Sati Sambhajana, the step 5 is very important. If you don't hit step 5, 4 and 5, you have not started the real meditation. But the moment you move into step 4 and 5, it's like a natural momentum. It takes you along the path of Dhamma very naturally. It's like you breeze through and you really love the cultivation. Because when you are in the path, so beautiful. The Dhamma appear all over, keep on arising. Then your joy, your faith becomes so different. That's why cultivation is not difficult. The only thing you need to really determine is the initial wisdom. Constantly listen to the Dhamma. Now we got website, we got the transcripted books, we got the audio file, the video file. You should listen, then reflect, contemplate constantly until the understanding stabilizes, then determine to cultivate, to straighten your view. Once your views are straightened, you will have less of this reaction of mind, stirring of mind. Then your daily mindfulness will stabilize. Then when you meditate, your spiritual faculty develop, your initial wisdom develop. It's very easy to meditate, where you meditate with understanding. That's why you will enter the silent stillness of mind, tranquility of mind. And you will realize your true mind, the state of no thought. And when you are able to do that, you will have more and more space between thought. Your mind will be more and more quiet, peaceful. Avijja paccaya sankhara weaken. That's how your sati, daily mindfulness, become more and more continuous. And when you hit that, you only need to learn the four type of clear comprehension so that you will not deviate. And the four type of clear comprehension is very easy. The first clear comprehension is sincerity of purpose. Means you cultivate the Dhamma with sincerity to develop wisdom, to free the mind, to be a blessing to all, to develop understanding so that you understand life and know how to live life, so that you can really be a blessing to all. So that is the true intent. Not to develop psychic fame, and all those funny type of intent. Those are for people who are still deluded with the egoic mind. Then you have to maintain that strong faith. Do not fall into complacency. Then determine, strive on with heedfulness to develop the understanding. So all these are part and parcel of the cultivation. Then when you are able to do that, you progress very fast. You become very different. That's why the Buddha said heedfulness is very important. Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23. Without heedfulness, you don't stand a chance. You are as if dead. And to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. So to be ever mindful, first is to train the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it. Then after that, constantly meditative means constantly using this trained mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the first, second and third turning wisdom. So the whole cultivation process becomes very clear and very easy. Step one, Dhamma friends, you have. Step two, opportunity to hear the Dhamma, the true Dhamma. You also have. You have your classes, you have your audio file, video file, you have the website, you have the books, transcript book and all those things. Then you also can have opportunity to develop Dhamma discussion. Constantly reflect, contemplate and inquire into the truth that the Buddha has taught. So this will bring forth the faith. When the Dhamma stand out to investigation, then with the faith, when you constantly develop the first and second turning wisdom, the initial wisdom, yoniso manasakara, will rise. Then your sati will stabilize. Then after that, step six is automatic. Sense restraint. You cannot break precept anymore. Then when you have sense restraint, you will know how to arise the three way of right conduct, which is step seven. Then after that, to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, which is step eight. It's very easy, because with the daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom, it's very easy, the four foundation of mindfulness. Then after that, you will witness the seven factor of enlightenment keep on arising. That is step nine. And with that, you know you are on the right path. You have destined for enlightenment. That's why step ten, the last step, will be a natural consequence of it, which is enlightenment in the here and now. So it's really easy. Then after that, you are very determined and you have the understanding and you undergo the higher path, the Bodhisattva way. Then you can, because you have already established the teaching, cultivating the Bodhisattva way. You have the book, the blue book. You take the vow, determined to plant the seed of Bodhi to go this way. Yeah. So the four basic vows together with all the essential understanding that I have given you, the yellow card, where the whole vow has been summarized into the yellow card, 2 pages. Go through them, familiarize yourself with them, then understand them, then determine to have this understanding life after life, whenever you come or you choose to come, have to come or choose to come. Then establish all the important understanding that I have laid down. First is how to break karmic offense from triple gem, from all beings. Then how to understand the essential Dhamma, especially the 5 aggregate of form and mind, the 2 aspects. Then to cultivate affinity, great beings, seek their blessing, protection and guidance. So all these are there. Then all the various type of other essential Dhamma, Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta, so all those 5 aggregates of form and mind, chant them, then develop the understanding of the 3 universal characteristics of nature, then the 4 basic vows, the 3 sets of pure precepts, then how to integrate them with your cultivation, so that all this will take you along. Then the perfection of the 10 paramita become natural, automatic. This is how the teaching can be developed. And it's very beautiful. Whoever who can understand this teaching, cultivate it, will be a blessing to all, will have the good life, guaranteed. The only way to change your life for the better, to transform your understanding, is to walk the path of Dhamma, to realize the enlightenment. Then after that, you choose to come to the Bodhisattva way, you will be very beautiful, life after life, for eons and eons and eons. The cultivation will be very different. You come with understanding. That's why I always say, you really have to come, or choose to come. You better come with the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. Otherwise, why come? A lot of people got no choice. They have to come. So that one is not a question they can answer. They have to realize this teaching before they can decide. In fact, when you have the sasana around right now, you have the condition to develop such understanding, you must really, really go all out, determined to have this understanding, life after life. Otherwise, if you miss this window, it's going to be a long call before the next window open up or materialize. Okay, so this is for your very important faith and understanding. Yun Chan, anything else?
I realize when you have something on your mind, cannot meditate.
Oh, okay. Like what?
That they were complaining.
Oh.
Taxi fare is very expensive.
Yeah.
So the first few days, okay, could have very good sitting. Then after that, the both of them were complaining, Chin Hao and him. Why you pay so much? Why we have to pay so much?
I thought you have took a van.
Wait, they went and booked 2 vans for us, and the van actually can sit 10 people. So we were only half on the way there.
Yeah.
So we paid quite a bit. So on the way back, we asked we asked them, can you change it? Have one van and maybe one taxi. No need such a lot. So, but I somehow there was some misunderstanding. They were going to book a truck like a Hilux at that to carry the bags, and then some people can sit there. But a van can sit 10 people actually. So they're saying, and then they said reduced by only 400 baht. Then he said, "Oh, so expensive." So I'm meditating. Then the thought comes, "Oh, very expensive, very expensive."
You know how the thought come on out. That's why that is real meditation. But if you use another thought to rationalize, then that is not meditation. You have to inquire, why this thought? Why not other thought?
Yeah, because I think it is bothering me at that time.
Correct. The thought is bothering you, but you never inquire. If you inquire the right way, you will understand it very deeply. Why this thought, not other thought? Last time I shared with you already. Even when I go to a shop and buy something after I have the Dhamma and the mindfulness, I realize whatever transpired within the shopkeeper and me, because I was buying something and all things, then he actually gave me extra, no? He gave me extra change. I actually pay him, I think, 2 ringgit actually. But I gave him a $10 note. I forgot whether $50 note. It's supposed to change to me about 40 ringgit, isn't it? I calculated 50 ringgit, you know, extra 10 ringgit, because there was 1 10 ringgit stick together. I think he didn't check. Then as I was going out, then I count the notes. Then I realized extra. Then I turn back, and I want to actually return him the extra 10 ringgit. You know what he did or not? His response was as if I complained that he underchanged me. Understand? He said, no. He said, I count already one. Cannot be wrong. He straight away told me that. Then I smiled. I say, I think you pay me extra 10 ringgit. He was in disbelief, no? Then I count in front of him. I say, you're supposed to change back 40 something, but you give me 50. Then I gave him back the 10 ringgit. No? He was so amazed and stunned. No? Then he spoke to his colleague, no? Got such people in this world, I say. No? Then, when I walk out, I can see the joy in him and all those things. But if you don't have mindfulness, I tell you, you will keep on thinking about that. Do you know? That is wholesome, no? That's why I can share with you this story, because I was observing my mind. And I realized as I walk out, I was laughing, smiling, because people won't do this, understand? But if it's something negative, let's say if he underchanged me, then I went here, I want to claim, he don't agree. Normal people, what happened? Sure, cannot take it already. Understand? You will get into trouble. And like your case, you complain the thing expensive. So what actually happened if you are mindful, if you are aware, you silent everything and you check, why this thought keep on coming out? This thought is bugging you because there is a response from memory, and this memory went in very fast. The Buddha called it attachment, craving. So the cause of arising of suffering is samudaya, the cause. So this cause in Mahayana is called accumulation. You accumulate it through a delusion where you think you exist. You think somebody want to cheat you, understand? You think the taxi fare is expensive. This is how attachment went in. And when you can see them, you will understand. Then what you need to do is Sankara Anicang, Sankara Dukkang, Dhamma Anattam. So a lot of things in life you have to learn. Not surreal, not what you think. But when they arise, a normal person with the egoic mind will feel hurt, will feel unhappy. Then this thought keep on haunting them. It's just like you have problem. You cannot meditate. When you sit, it keep on haunting you. Take for example, financial problem, health problem, relationship problem. That guy is not at peace because that so-called problem of life is haunting them. You know what is haunting, isn't it? Disturbing you. Because you have something you can't resolve. That's what suffering is. Attachment. Craving. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety. These are the cause of suffering. So when you develop the meditative mind, when you can be aware, you can see this thought arising. I realize the only way to free is to develop wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, you cannot free. Wisdom and understanding means what? The past is already gone, finished, no more. Why you want to think about it? Cheated means cheated, understand or not?
No,
you
not,
say cheated.
Not cheated.
Why okay. So expensive?
No, that was over. No, we had planned for the return trip.
Correct, it's the same.
So, no,
you say somehow there's a misunderstanding, isn't it?
So I couldn't meditate, so I quickly got up and looked for Meiji Amy. I remember she told me she knows a taxi lady.
Who can
book a taxi.
And
she actually called up the driver and then realized there was some kind of misunderstanding. The driver thought we wanted a truck. So it was wrong. So we cancelled the truck, and she booked a taxi, and we saved 1,000 baht.
For the return trip, lah. Then you are happy, isn't it?
Then I could meditate.
So the answer is why in the first instant you can't meditate. Why in the second instant you can meditate? You say you are happy, your problem no more, understand? No? But you didn't make use of that condition to see how this thing haunt you, how it create this type of craving, grasping, clinging that affect your mind state, and you cannot meditate. It did not be that way. Do you understand? The example I have given you just now, you didn't listen properly because you were concerned with your situation and you want to explain your situation. That one is not important. To me, the important one is how to silence your mind during meditation and see through the silent mind why this thought, why not other thought? Because it's always your unsettled problem. You label it as problem. You want to resolve it. And while you are in the midst of other thing, this thing is disturbing you. That's why you cannot do the thing with normal understanding, awareness and mindfulness. Because this thing is not the reality now. The reality is you are in a retreat, you have to meditate. You want to meditate, you meditate. If you need to write it down, you're scared you forget. Okay, this taxi thing, I think I can save money. I will think of a way to talk to somebody. If there's condition, I will resolve it. And then that thing will not disturb you. Because you have written down and you intend to resolve it. So during the meditation, you just meditate, relax. Initially, the thought will come. Because you have not developed the stability or understanding. But once you develop the stability or understanding, all these things will not disturb you. That's how I know what is important, what is priority. I write it down, then I will just tell myself, I need to resolve this. I need to remember this date, this appointment. Finish. After that, it never disturbed me. Then I can go about doing my thing. Yeah. In fact, my recent trip back to Alastair also meant to be a very good advice to you all. You all can learn. You know what happened? I purposely booked a return flight at 7:15 p.m. Sorry, at night, so that I have enough time. I actually sensed it already. When I went in with my brother, they all to Hamjai. Normally, after lunchtime, 12 o'clock check out from hotel. Our Malaysian time is 1 o'clock. Okay? 1 o'clock. Then, what happened was, somehow, my elder brother who went to another place want to meet us for lunch. Then he said he will fetch me back. Then I call him at about 12 o'clock when Thailand time, when I was about to check out. He told me another hour to go. Cannot make it. But he said, don't worry, my flight 7 something, is it a lot of time? I said, no. I said, I will go off with the other brother. But they all discuss. They say, never mind lah, we take one room. Then we put our luggage there, we check out. Then after that, we go for lunch. Then we come back and go. I say, no. So I check out. The other brother fetch me. But because they are not ready, we have to wait for them. No? By the time they come down, 1 o'clock Thai time, Thailand time. So 2 o'clock our time. Then take lunch, 3 o'clock Thai time. 3 o'clock still enough time. Isn't it? 4, 5, 6, 7, 4 hours. No? And that trip from Hat Yai to the checkpoint is 1 hour plus a bit. Then another 50 minutes, maximum 2 hours, you will reach the Alostar Airport. You know what happened? The jam. Never before the immigration. 3 hours at the immigration. I clear the immigration at 6:30 p.m. Cannot make it. Then I know. I call my son. I say, don't fetch me at 8 something because the flight supposed to arrive at 8:25. I say, I will miss the flight. Yeah. I knew. Then I just let it be. Then you know what happened? I asked my son to check what is the next flight. He told me there is only one Firefly leaving at 8:10. I was so lucky. I reached the airport at 7:30. I knew that the other plane already taken off. 7:15. I went in. Luckily, I know where Firefly is. I told my wife, you bring in the luggage with my sister-in-law, wait for me at the Firefly, check in there, I will go and buy the ticket. So I went to the counter, I inquired. I said, is there any more ticket back to Subang? He checked. He said, Ada. I said, how much? Wow. You know how much or not? 2.5 times the normal fare. Instead of paying 300 something. Someone burned my 300 something ticket. No? I had to pay 800 something. But I never have a second thought. I say, okay, book. I say, dua orang ada. Oh, ada. Okay, beli. Then my brother came and told me, hey, he said, your flight delay. You know? He said, 7:30 only take off. No? I say, never mind. 7:30 take off. I already 7:30 arrive at the counter. So the flight has taken off. So he thought 7:30 take off, 15 minutes. But you arrive at 7:30 where the plane actually take off. Then for me, I got no second thought or hesitation. Need to pay lah. Can I afford one? Understand? So I didn't feel anything at all. It's a lesson. That's why I always advise you all when we were on spiritual trip, you remember? I say I prefer to wait at the airport than to chase the plane. I always tell you all, that's why don't go. My elder brother someone tell me what, every time I send you to airport, you 1.5 to 2 hour early one. Why you want to go so early? Is it enough time one? This time kena ni, everybody keep quiet. You ask my wife. All the brothers they felt so bad. I said, never mind. I said, because I had this feeling inside and I know and I knew it's meant to be so that people can learn. Understand? Don't try to stinge on the 1 hour or half an hour. Every time also ngam one. Like the what they call quality control. Just in time. They want to save money. all this type of thing. No problem. So attachment goes in. No, the key point is not the example. It's how attachment goes in, understand? If you feel, then you will use the ego in mind. If they have left according to what I tell them, no such thing. If my brother, elder brother, this is all not a reality already, understand? Why are you going to waste time on it? But the thought of the mundane mind, or an enlightened being, Buddhajana, they always think like that. And they have a lot of story to tell. For me, then, I decide, I tell my brother, thank you so much for fetching me to the airport. And then I thank the wife also. I say, thank you. Then I say, you're good, don't worry. I will call my son to fetch me. So my son was very happy. He said, oh, okay, daddy, okay. He said, 8:10, 9:20 flight. So he was at the Subang airport to fetch me. Then we managed to reach home. Yeah. So everything resolved amicably because of the understanding. Otherwise, you in a hurry, anxiety, rush here, rush there, want to reach the airport, then try to fight with people. Why these people do work like that? My dear, the brother complained. No? He said, Thailand like that lah. Because he said, no more. Last time, they collect from you or no? Every, you call them what? Every tourist, they go in. The passport job, you have to pay 1 ringgit our money, or last time their money, 10 baht. Now our money, 10 baht is not 1 ringgit, no. 10 baht is 70 old cent, you know. They don't want ringgit, no. They want 10 baht. But luckily, the previous few months, people complain. No, go by law. Go by law means what? Don't pay. So don't pay during office hour, very slow. You see, we waited 3 hours plus to clear that thing. The queue is not so long, you know. Right? The queue is only, I think, about 200 meters only. But every car, last time, in order to speed up, the car in front will drive to another parking bay further. Then the second car can drive next to it. Then all the passengers come down so that the first one clear, the second one can go and continue. Now he don't allow. He said, not your turn. Driver, passenger, all sit in the car. Wait for that first car in front of you to clear first. After clear, the driver got to go in, drive away. Then you spend your time, drive there, then open the door, then everybody come down and chop passport. The car at the back still got to wait. It's like when you are waiting for your queue, they will tell you, you cannot come near, you wait. Then this one car, worse. So because of that, I calculated every car at least 3 minutes. Got one car 5 minutes. So 5 minutes, 1 hour, how many car? 12 car only. You understand? No? 36 car, 3 hours. No? And we were the 50 car, I think. Not that far. But they got 4 lanes open. But they take their time. Not in a hurry one. Then we try to speed up. He somehow asked my brother, kereta mana? Kereta ini. Oh, okay. Ini boleh. Yeah, my brother has to sit in the car and drive to the front. Then only come down. So he thought my brother is not the driver. No? He thought from the back one. He asked. Because you want to go by the rule, they go by the rule. Understand? So, society is like that. It's no more about Dhamma when it comes to society. Understand? Society is a rojak one. Where you are dealing with all sorts of people. So, your attachment one is a good example, Yunjan. Your attachment one. So, you have to learn to meditate on this, develop the understanding. Because the Dhamma is very simple. accept the reality of the moment and move. Following Noble Eightfold Path. Silence your mind and check during meditation. Why this thought? Not other thought. That's how I started in the early days. I realized, I saw, we are with my mindfulness awareness, I was able to see the Sankara activity. Then, how come all the time, this type of thought, not the other thought? Then I started to inquire, reflect. Then I recollected back, all these are when I give it meaning, when I want to resolve it, then it went in. Sometimes it's very subtle. The later on, the more subtle one, you cannot see it. Very subtle one. The very slight acknowledgement from inside, the thing went in already. Yeah. Went in already. Yeah. And it will have its condition to trigger off. Yeah. Then thought is respond to all this accumulated memory. Your anxiety, your fear, but not the major one, no, the subtle one. No. Then sometimes it will be released through your subconscious dream. It will come out that type of dream. That's how you see them in your awareness, in your sati. Because these are the things that manifest. Krishnamurti is very wise. He called this order. Your brain must have order. Your mind must have order. If it's in disorder, you know what happened. It has to release all this trap, subconscious fear, subconscious anxiety. These are all the evil roots. And all this can only be released through wisdom. Otherwise, the body will have its own mechanism. It has to wait till you sleep. Understand? When you are in the subconscious or unconscious state, then only they got chance to release it out. So how do they release it out? Through dream. Understand? Through dream. So when you dream, then that fear release out. Understand? But because that attachment is still there, it will accumulate again. You understand? So this releasing is like not much use. But at least it prevents you from becoming cuckoo, understand? Otherwise, you got a lot of this, you cannot release, you will enter depression. That's why you will have a lot of very, very depressive thought. Finally, people enter depression is because of that. So when the brain cannot take it anymore, they will enter depression. Then after that, suicidal thought. Because they just want to finish off with it. Forget about life. Might as well die. That is a very common suicidal thought among people with depression. So all this is understanding born of meditative inquiry, reflection, silent. When you're silent, you can see the arising of thought, the releasing of all this. Then when you understand, you realize all this accumulation cease to be. Then after that, you hardly dream. You like no dream at all. That's why your mind is very peaceful, very calm. There is always clarity, awareness within. And you are always with your nature. No longer with the thought, the thinking, the mundane mind. And all this is not easy. When I explain it to you, it's like very easy. So you use your knowledge. What I tell you is right. I think I know. You don't know because you didn't really go in. You have to really go in and find out yourself. Silent, be aware and see all this. Then when you can clear them, only you will know. No more rooted out already. Not like last time already. So all this is the understanding that you will develop through your cultivation. Initially, it's first second turning wisdom, especially second turning wisdom, contemplation, reflection, and inquiry, then you straighten your view. That is the beginning. Then after that, the meditative one, the third turning, that is the real one. That one will give you the wisdom and the understanding. And the wisdom and the understanding is the one that root it up. Then you see very clearly. The reality is the reality. Finish. You have to accept the reality of the moment. Be at peace. Then resolve it. Form a mind. Do your duty. Finish. Don't have any negativity of mind state. That's why I say whenever you are unhappy, not peaceful, like the case Yun Chan described just now, cannot meditate, means something is bothering you, disturbing you. The evil roots are there. There is attachment. There is clinging, grasping. And you can't do anything about it because you don't have the understanding. You have not reflected. The understanding is you're scared, you forget, write it down. Okay, this is the issue that I have to resolve. So, how do I resolve? Resolve it amicably. Following Noble Eightfold Path. And then from there onward, you will know how to resolve things. Then as you start to resolve one thing at a time, you learn. Then you will know how to apply the same formula for future problem. Then you realize everything is the same. When you have the Dhamma, you will know how to do it. When you don't have the Dhamma, you will attach, you will cling, and you will become afflicted. That's it. So you have to see all this, understand all this. Then the mind becomes different. That's how transformation and awakening can happen. Then you will develop very clear understanding that this form of mind is not what you think you are. He know you, he know me. No one born, no one sick, no one old, no one die. You understand all this. It's just a vehicle and a tool for you to come. This you must reflect and contemplate until very, very clear. Especially the one on the whiteboard. Just now, Gina asked me, want to rub it off. And I said, no need, keep it. But this one, very few people understand the importance. The importance of having this understanding. Can you all see from that side? You can't. You see, this five aggregate of form and mind, which is what the human being is all about. We have a physical body, the form aggregate. Then we have the mind, which has four more aggregates. So what did the Buddha say? The mind, which is consciousness and is content, or your mundane mind, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregates for you to develop the understanding. And to understand these four aggregates is very simple. You just inquire, what can my mind do? So as we all know, our mind can feel. That's why there's an aggregate of feeling, Vedana. Then our mind can perceive things, sanya aggregate. We can perceive through our seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness. Then we can arise mental activity, mental states, mental volition, mental formation. All these are part of the activity of mind. And this is what the Buddha called sankhara. In fact, everything your mind can do is sankhara, including your planning, your scheming, your whatever mind state, like envy, jealousy, and all those things, including the feeling and perception aggregate. So the first three aggregate, feeling, perception, and activity of mind or mind states, mental activity, they are the content of consciousness. Then the last thing that your mind can do is the mind can be conscious. Conscious of what you see. Conscious of what you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel and think. That's why the last aggregate is vijnana, consciousness. So these four plus this physical body become the first aspect, the five aggregate of form and mind. But this five aggregate of form and mind, which we call the human being, because we are born as human in the human right, this is not you. This is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world. You are born into this world. But you need this vehicle and tool to come, otherwise you cannot come. And this five aggregate of form and mind, the reason why the Buddha say it's not you is because when you meditate, you will understand. They are all dependent, originating, condition arising phenomena. Not a real, permanent, unchanging entity where you can click on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. There is no such thing. Then the second aspect of the five aggregate is, he said, the four mind aggregate. Every time it arises, the perception aggregate brings in the external form into the mind. That's why the mind also has its five aggregate. And this five aggregate is actually your thought. Consciousness and its content become the thought. And that is the second aspect. The 12 link, Paticca-samuppanna. Yeah. Then you have to understand, this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, even though not you, but is subject to karma, law of karma. That's why you have to do your duty. You have to live your life in accordance with this nature's law, law of karma. Because within the conditioned world, there is the conditioned mind. But when you meditate, when you realize the enlightenment, that is the unconditioned Dhamma. With the unconditioned Dhamma, you will not attach, you will not cling, you will not grasp, you will not suffer. That's why this five aggregate of form and mind then can be a beautiful vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world to live the good life, the beautiful life of a noble one, an enlightened being, to realize the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, means you get to live the life of an enlightened being. Yeah. So all this understanding is very important. It's only when you have such understanding that you can liberate your mind, free your mind. The only way to develop wisdom is to use this five aggregate of form and mind to meditate, to cultivate, to realize your true nature. But the gateway is inside this one. That's why you need this to come. That to help you live life, experience life, do everything that you want to do in life. But for most people, without this understanding, they come here to pay back karma. Understand? To suffer, to become afflicted, miserable. So this understanding is most important. You have to reflect, contemplate, understand, meditate and awaken. If you understand this, you understand life, you will know how to live life. Then you can be a blessing to all. You can really be beautiful. And life can really be meaningful, wonderful. Then you can get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Because this form and mind, even though not real, not you, but is karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world. And it's connected to you, even though not you. So you can use it to live life beautifully. Yeah. With full understanding. That's why the moment you meditate and you understand, you will develop what they call wisdom. So once you develop wisdom or panya, this one is connected to this five aggregate of form and mind, connected to your nature. Because this is connected, this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, is no longer deluded. That's why this one you can say is enlightened, but it's not you. This is the most important understanding. And this one you really, really have to understand through the second turning. Reflect, contemplate, inquire, understand that investigate further in the meditation to find out really whether what the Buddha has taught you is the true teaching or not. If it stand up to investigation, then you know it's beautiful. If it doesn't stand up to investigation, then it's of no use. Yeah. That's why during the early day of my cultivation, nobody wrote about this. No book write about this. Nobody understand this. Yeah. But through my own understanding, I came to realize all this. Yeah. Also partly from my past cultivation. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual nature and the karmic nature, they tie in with the whole thing. And this is the overall understanding of who you are, what you are, what Dhamma is all about. And this is like the secret of life. When you understand this, you understand life. You know how to live life. You become beautiful. Okay? Can follow. Very good. Yeah. Tell me. Pass the mic, Yu-chan. Tell me you got a question. Oh, I think I sit here better. But these people cannot see me. Never mind. I pull my chair back. Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry. Yeah, tell me. Yes, you can. You can ask. Yeah.
I want to ask. Okay, I want to ask is regarding the yellow card you had.
Yes.
Second one, you say that we need to understand fully the two aspects of the
five aggregate of form and mind.
So I was thinking, okay, five aggregate of form and mind, I mean, other than the rupa and the four
aggregate of mind.
The second aspect is that the perception bring them into the mind.
So the mental form. The mental form enters the mind via perception aggregate. So within that five aggregate of form and mind, which is the mental, the second aspect, there is also the nama rupa. That's why under 12 link, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijñānang, vijñānang paccaya nama rupa, nama rupa, the fourth link. That is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. But the teaching always go for the three lifetime one. And the fourth link, they say, is the first aspect. Because they cannot explain paticca samuppada happening within the instant. So they use the three lifetime one, which is in the commentary and very easy for people to follow and understand, and very logical also. They say avijja is ignorant. So the moment you die, due to ignorance, you create karmic volition. Understand? Karmic volition is what they call the condition to condition rebirth consciousness. That's why the third link is vijñānang, they call it rebirth consciousness. Do you understand? Due to ignorance, when you die, the karmic volition condition rebirth consciousness, and the rebirth consciousness will condition the form and mind, which is the living being, the first aspect. Then he said, because of the living being, there is salayatana, sense basis. That's why nama rupang paccaya salayatana. Then salayatana, condition, contact. Contact, condition, feeling. Then they explain the whole cycle. Then three lifetime. What for? If it's three lifetime, the Buddha teach you for no reason. Cannot be. If it happened only once over three lifetimes, then myself forget about it. It's like a theory. But if it's every moment, every instant, then living being will be interested. Yeah, that is the real one. So the every moment, every instant one, now I will answer your question, is dependent on ignorance because you don't know the truth. So what do you do? You want to know, isn't it? So what you do? You think about it, understand? Like the teacher tell you. So that's why avijja paccaya sankhara. That sankhara is not karmic volition. Karmic volition is one aspect of sankhara. the mental intention. But this sankhara is mental activity. So you think. So when you think, what happens? Your brain is an organ, you understand? Like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb light up, understand? So when you think, it creates contact. This vijnana is the mental consciousness. The third link is the mental consciousness. But like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see as yet. The pure consciousness without its content. That is vijnana. After that, you input the content of consciousness. That's how it becomes namarupa. The seven universal arise, then the mental form enters the mind to perception, sanya aggregate. That's why you have your five aggregate of form in mind. And that is the second aspect, which is your thought. Then dependent on this namarupang, the second aspect, there must be salayatana. Otherwise that consciousness cannot arise. That's why salayatana fall into place. And dependent on salayatana, the whole other link will flow. Feeling will arise. Craving will arise. Then grasping, becoming, birth, and all the mess of suffering. So this is the real dependent originator. Sometimes it didn't end. It's multidimensional. Like what I shared with you all at the retreat. So all this understanding, you can only see it when you have daily mindfulness, very stable. Without mindfulness, you cannot see them. You cannot see the link. You cannot be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, at the moment of the pure consciousness, vijnana. Most people, after the thought has become very strong, with all the craving, everything, suffering, hey, then only they realize that they are suffering. Do you know when you hit suffering, what link is that? You also bypass craving without knowing that you have craving. Then after craving is grasping, you also don't know it has gone through. Then you become that thing also you don't know. Then you take birth, transgression only you know. Then you regret, ayo, why did I get angry? Why did I hit that guy? Why did I do all this? All the 12 links you can't see at all. You are as good as blind. That's why the Buddha says the healers are as if dead. Completely. But when you are mindful, every link is so clear. You can be at the moment. At the moment of feeling, it will remain as pure feeling, non-grasping. When there is craving, when there is ignorance, it will become grasping. That's why without wisdom, yoni so manasikara, you cannot stay at the feeling as pure feeling. Your mind will react and stir with pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, like and dislike. These are the reactions of mind that you need to see with your daily mindfulness. You need to be very sensitive. When your daily mindfulness with the wisdom and the understanding is there, your mind becomes very sensitive. The slightest activity of movement, the subtle delight or what, you will feel it. That's why it cannot arise. That's why you can prevent it from arising, the unwholesome thought and all those things. Your sensitivity of mindfulness is so different now. Because of mindfulness, you can have sense restraint. You cannot break all those things. That's why they say even the Sotapan, they will never break the five precepts. That is the reason why. Okay? Yeah? Is that your question? Tell me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Push. Okay, ready. Okay.
My question is the reason, like, I want to ask why you say that the two aspects is needed. Because,
I think this is push up the whole thing. Up already, okay. You speak again. Direct.
The reason I ask is because...
Okay.
It's because that you say two aspects. I was thinking why we need to know.
Not recording. Testing. Not recording. my battery wrong size.、Ah. Use my
The reason I ask this question is because I saw in the Bodhisattva vow that they have two aspects. Then I was thinking, why you aren't asking us to know, to understand clearly why there's two aspects, and also I like, oh, is it because the second aspect is more important, that the form all perception brings into the mind, that also the reason why it causes grasping and the clinging. So this is what I understand. I want to ask.
So you see, the two aspects is exactly like I explained just now. First aspect is the form and mind as a human being. For us, we are born as an animal, of course, that is the animal. That's why the general term is the five-aggregate of form and mind. First aspect is the living being, okay? Our case is the human being. So this human being is so different from the second aspect, isn't it? You have to understand both. The first one is to understand that this is subject to karma. This is not you. That's why you have to understand. And they have the universal characteristics of rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Vedana anicang, vedana anatta. Sanya anicang, sanya anatta. Sankara anicang, sankara anatta. Vinyana anicang, vinyana anatta. This five aggregate of form and mind, the Buddha said, is impermanent, lead to suffering when you attach, grasp and cling through delusion, self-delusion. Then because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why it's anatta, non-self nature, empty nature of existence. Because all these are causal phenomena, dependent originating condition arising. So this first aspect is already very important. And this is not you, but subject to karma. And you have to make use of this to cultivate, to meditate, to perform the function of whatever you want when you come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life. To develop the cultivation, the understanding, the perfection, and all that. And you need this vehicle and tool. Without this vehicle and tool, you cannot connect, you cannot meditate, you cannot develop the understanding, the awakening. That's why this first aspect is very important. But when it comes to the teaching, Paticca Samuppada, it is referring to the second aspect. And the second aspect is also equally important. Very deep in its understanding. Because that one is your thought, your citta. That's why under four foundations of mindfulness, you have the citta refer to the third foundation, citta nupassana. Citta means consciousness with its content or the thought. That's why under third foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha always say, you have to develop mindfulness of citta, content of consciousness. When the content of consciousness has greed, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness has the evil roots of anger, hatred, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness has this delusion, you must be aware. Then they got various type of description. When the content of consciousness is peaceful, tranquil, still, you must be aware. Yeah. When it's agitated, restless, you must also develop awareness. That's why that aspect is citta. And citta is very important because that is your thought, basically. And Krishnamurti deal a lot with thought. So nama rup is very important, the second aspect. The second aspect, as we know, the mind has four aggregates. So how did the external form enter the mind? It's through perception, sanya. That's why you also have the five aggregate. So when you attach and cling to mental form, what happened? You will suffer. That's how suffering comes about. Through self-delusion, sakayadity, you grasp. You think all these are real. Mental form are external form perceived by the mind. Do you understand? Everything you come to perceive, they are mental form. What are they? Your loved ones, your property, your house, your possession, everything. You attach and cling. Do you suffer? You suffer, isn't it? Your school, your country, your fellow countrymen, race, religion, everything you cling, you grasp. You suffer. So mental form can be within your seeing consciousness, sight and sound. Sound is hearing consciousness. So color, shape and form that you can perceive through your seeing consciousness, these are external form. And this one already have a very wide range. Our own physical form, you can perceive it. Your feeling, you can perceive it. Then also our loved one, all this, you can perceive, your possession, your wealth, everything. So the moment you attach and cling, you will suffer. Even your new car that you bought, your handphone or whatever. So all this is the second aspect of the five aggregate form of mind. Then through hearing, the external form, the sense data, sound, vibration, music, words. When people scold you, abuse you, and all those, you hear them through your hearing. This is external form that enters your mind. So all the other respective consciousness is the same. So the second aspect of the five aggregate form in mind is where the 12 link is, Paticca-samuppanna. That is where your mindfulness has to be very stable. To see them, to understand them, to describe all this to you. That's the reason why all this that I share with you, your fear, your phobia, your accumulated insecurity, scars of memory, all those things, they are not in the traditional Theravada texts. But how did I know? Because I saw them in the brain, in the real form of my manifestation. When I silence my mind through mindfulness, awareness. That's why I saw all this. That's why I can understand what Krishnamurti is trying to share with the world and teach the world. That's why I combine his understanding with the Buddha Dhamma that is stand out so clearly, so beautifully. So all these are very important understanding that you need to develop. So these are the reason why the two aspects need to be understood. Okay? Sadhu. What's the time now? Oh yeah. 4 more minutes to 10:30. Very fast. So any other question? Today only cover Yin Chan. Han, last 4 minutes for you. Oh. Pass the mic. Don't know whether Han can do some magic or not.
This is my first trip.
Yeah.
And
I was quite happy in the sense that whenever I choose to sit, I was able to sit. Although I have so many things to do, help out in the kitchen.
Ah, good.
And the mind was still.
Ah,
and
very good.
Especially in the evening, when we went up to the Kuan Yin Pavilion, most of the time I walk alone. And also, I also going up hill, it's quite steep.
Mm.
But I was very, the mind was calm. Oneness with nature.
Yeah,
mind, body, all synchronized. As
very
well.
Good.
So
sadhu.
The beauty of nature, because they didn't clear very much, just along the main road. So day and night, the monks are sweeping, even on the road. Every day they've been sweeping. Each time in the evening when we go up, they're still sweeping. So they also do housework or also have duties like us. First time I ever been to a monastery that we do so much of work at the same time we practice.
Yeah. You know?
And so I find that the mind also can quiet down quite fast.
Because you are in a relaxed state of inner awareness, that's why you can accord and flow with nature. You can just walk in a very relaxed manner. Then you can maintain your calmness, because this one has to do with your daily mindfulness. Unless you hold on to your concentration, then it's different. Because you have tendency to do jhana.
I'm able to sit. When I walk, I want to be mindful. I also can be able to be in the present moment.
Correct, yes. But you have to be careful. You need to check this one. Are you in a conditioned state of mind, very calm? Because you have tendency to go into that type of concentration, the jhana.
Because I learned from you, you say a free mind.
Correct. Free mind means completely relaxed, not in a conditioned state. You must make sure you are in that. Because that one is the awareness and the wisdom that make you like that. It's not a energy field inside there. Because you use the word calm. If it's too calm, then it's a conditioned state. This one is tranquility, stillness. It's not real calm. Understand? The word you use has that tendency. Calm is very calm. There is energy there. But free mind means relaxed, tranquil, and still. No movement of thought. That is a free mind. Then later on, when the mundane mind collapses, it's different. It's from the nature come out. The nature is always aware, finished. No energy, nothing. That one is no dwelling, 100% free mind. Initially, people use samadhi to hold it. Samadhi is a form of upacara samadhi. Still, a bit of calmness, but not very calm. But when the wisdom arises already, sati and samadhi will give rise to the ability to allow the cultivator to see things as they are and awaken. Once the wisdom is there, upekkha will arise. Where upekkha arises is the equanimity born of understanding. That's why that will maintain the free mind. In the free mind state, they are still at peace. They don't have to rely on samadhi anymore. Most people who do jhana in concentration or absorption meditation, they rely on the calmness, the samadhi. But for your case, you can do it there, it's already very good. But you have to check, can you maintain that state when you come back to daily life?
I find that it's much better compared to before.
Yeah, but the continuity of it is very important. You come back, you maintain for 2-3 weeks, no use. I have heard from some of these yogis last time, they go and do calmness meditation in the retreat. After that, they try to maintain for even 4 weeks. There was one lady. But after that, she still tell me, cannot go back to square one. Because she finally agree with me on what I tell her. Without wisdom, you really cannot maintain that daily mindfulness, that free mind state or tranquility and stillness in the midst of life. They can't do it. Then they realize it's very difficult to maintain mindfulness, because they can only maintain mindfulness when they are in a retreat. Out of the retreat, they find it so difficult. And I also surprised, because to me, if you determine to be aware, you should be aware. Why are you not aware? I cannot understand.
So I find that the lifestyle also affects.
No, nothing to do with lifestyle. That time I was working as a civil engineer. They call it a madhouse, that place. I was able to be in that state of mindfulness throughout the day. But you have to develop understanding. That's why understanding frees the mind, nothing else. Straightening of your view. Understanding is very important. The unisop manasikara. Then you realize you do not behave like before anymore. Your mind couldn't like keep on stirring, reacting, and a lot of agitation inside, like and dislike, pleasure and so this one not happy, that one not happy. A lot of chattering inside there, complaining here and there. If you cannot reduce your chattering mind, means something is not right. Means the initial wisdom is still not there. Then you can only be at peace when you are in the calm condition state. If you can maintain that in the retreat and allow your mind to enter sati, it's very good. Then after that, when you come out of it, if you maintain the mindfulness, your mind that enters sati will give rise to your ability to see things in sati. All of your hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought, and seeing will be in sati. Then your daily mindfulness will be very good. But you come out, you cannot maintain that, means you have not done the correct meditative training. Means the mind didn't enter sati. The mind is in a state of calmness, peacefulness, born of energy field, a conditioned state. But to experience that state in a retreat is good, so that you know what that state is. But you have to relax, silence everything after that. Relax means free the energy. Don't hold on to the energy. The best is just go for a walk, then come back, relax, lie down, don't sit. If you sit, you'll go into calmness, because you all are so like, it's like a habitual thing. You can go into it very fast because you have been doing that type of meditation and sitting for very long. So when you are so used to that type of conditioned mind, means energy field, it's very difficult for them, for you all to relax, I realize. So you need to relax and go back to normal awareness, then allow the mind to silence until completely still. No more thought, no more movement. Even the breathing, anapanasati, all still, until subtle or no breathing. Then you maintain awareness until the mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, you will know it's very different. Every movement, every activity, everything that you do, even the subtle breathing will come back to you. And your sati will pick it up. Will pick it up. Then after that, you arise also like slow motion. Everything, you are doing it at your normal pace, actually, but everything is like in sati. It's like, to you, it's like slow motion. Like everything is connected. There's a flow. Everything, you are just aware like that. But you can do it at a normal pace. You can still walk like a normal pace. But every movement, every activity, there is awareness. Then everything is like connected. It's a flow. I call it a flow. That one, once you can do that in a retreat, you come out into society, daily life, if you can maintain that, you will know what sati is, daily mindfulness. Then that time you will transform. Sati sampajana, in the midst of life, that is the real one. That is step 5. After unisop manasikara. For you to have that, you must have the wisdom, the understanding, the straightening of the view. Otherwise, sati sambajana cannot calm the daily mindfulness. Very good. Yeah. Sadhu to you. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So, everybody finish. So, next Tuesday we can continue our sharing. Next Tuesday is 10 Perfection, Chapter 41. So, we will stop here and we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we will end. Akasata Chobumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Itawata Cham Ehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hitoce fito bawatu lokoce. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyam kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Tripajama, then we end.